Welcome to Realer Than Real podcast. I am Minister Lanelle Sparrow, and this is a place where we have real talk about real life issues. And yes, we're all real Christians. And if you have not received Lord Jesus Christ, we pray by the end of this episode, you will consider accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. For we know that we can do all things through Jesus Christ, and you are not alone. You don't have to walk it alone. Today, I have with me my son, Andre Green. I'm going to bring him in a moment. But my son, Andre Green, is here with me today for our first pre-episode. And our first pre-episode today is going to be a series of pre-episodes, about three of them, before we launch our actual season premiere. And so with that being said, I have my son, Andre Green, who is currently an educator teacher at a charter school in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm super, super excited. He is a graduate of North Carolina Central University. He is also a graduate of North Carolina State University, and he is currently a student at Fayetteville State University here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, in the doctorate program. I introduced to many of you all, everyone today, and everyone that knows me, you'll probably already know him, my son, Andre Green. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on with me this morning.
No problem.
Now, we've already jumped into the conversation, y'all. So with us jumping in, I don't want to feel like you guys on the podcast are coming in the middle of the conversation. So we're going to, you know, go ahead with our scripture topic today. Our scripture is coming from the book of Hosea, and it is the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, and reading it from the New Living Translation, which this scripture is going to be the guide for our conversation today. It is, my people are being destroyed because they do not know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priests. Since you have forgotten the laws, your God, I will forget to bless your children. In the King James Version, I'm sure you all know it all. It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou has rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and thou also will forget thy children. God was a little upset with the people of God back then. He was upset. He was letting them know that, you know, since you're intentionally rejecting me, I'm going to intentionally reject you. You know, I thank God for this word today, because as it was with the children of Israel back in the Bible days, Andre, this came after warning. God letting them know, hey, look, if you don't change your ways, you're going to go into captivity. This is going to happen. You've been eating of the fruit of the land, the goodness of the land. You've been living in what appears to be a Goshen. You have had the green of the green, okay, the creme of the creme. And you're still being disobedient, even when I treat you well. So I'm going to have to discipline you, is what God is telling the children of Israel. And the main part of this is because, not that they didn't know how to have a good relationship with God. It's because they refused to honor him and what he was saying. And so, Andre, based on some conversations that we were just having, we were talking about really the importance of knowledge. Of what God desires in our lives, and where is the balance of that in our lives. A lot of times, I know with me, Andre, there has been so many times in my life that I hear the word of God, and I'm praying and I'm reading right, and I'm calling myself living the word of God, but deep down inside, there are things in my life that manifest itself. And I'm like, God, why did I do that? Why did I respond that way? And it's because I didn't slow down long enough to do an assessment, to find out where is God's word, the knowledge of God's word, the wisdom of God's word. Am I really applying it or seeking God for it? But am I applying it in my life? Have you ever experienced that? How do you feel about that? Have you ever experienced, like, you read the word of God, you hear the word of God, right? But have you ever experienced the application of the word, of knowing exactly what God is wanting from you, to have that experience, to not to not allow it to not consider, to not seek God in areas of our lives that his word is saying something to us, but we keep making the same mistakes because we're not acknowledging it. We haven't done the research. We haven't done the sit down process. Have you ever experienced that where you did not do the sit down process with the word God has given you, but you just took the word and ran with it?
Well, I would say, of course, most definitely, because I remember just growing up and having a life in Virginia, not knowing too much about the word of God, you know, because all the comforts were there, friends, family, anything you wanted in life, relationships were there. And then as a kid, we moved to North Carolina. We was at a place where instead of our family was isolated. So that's where I began to receive the word. But I think to answer your question later on, to be in a situation like that as a kid when you're spending all those years in life just getting poured in, have the word poured into, and the world doesn't start, life doesn't start liking it so you get to certain things in your life. When that started to happen, mainly in my college years, I did not apply it because even though I was gaining access and knowledge of the word, I didn't know how to use the word to address my imperfection. And, you know, growing up in church, I was always told, hey, Brother Irons, are you going to be a great man? You're going to be a preacher, this, this, and that. And I used to have a high self-esteem based on that image. Mm. When it came to dealing with the world, I would feel insecure. It's one thing to be admissive. It's another thing to not feel secure in yourself because you feel like you're only accepted in one area in life. But that just, you know, that taught me that, you know, the whole purpose of having a church home or having that type of love and support is to nurture you, build you back up so you can go out in the world and do what you're supposed to. Now you can keep the image in yourself. So when I got to college and I began to, you know, help people and just support ministers and the word of God, and I noticed the love I was getting back, you know, on top of some hidden lust I would have, I began to embrace and accept the honor and the image. And in points of my life, I was living a double life. And God chastised before, you know, I had a major breakdown. I was chastised through rejection of people and burning bridges in relationships. So that was the consequences of not applying the word, just knowing the word, started to hit me before I graduated college. So now I'm in my adulthood, the hitting areas to where the areas in my heart where I've been hiding, where there was a lack of the word being applied, to start being exposed to me because I'm coming more broke boldly the Christ's throne with the word of God.
So you mentioned that you felt chastised because of the lack of application of the word. And you experienced that, like the warnings was the broken relationships. Okay. How was you able to identify the broken relationships as a form of chastisement?
That's a really good one. Cause I'm going to be honest with you. Before the broken relationships happened, it was the people watching my relationships falling back. Ooh. So when we are in Christ and we have the word, honestly, when you're in Christ, you spend, it's one thing to claim Christianity, but when you spend time with God and the word is carried inside of you and the Holy Spirit is in you, people can see something about you as different. Now, those who may not be fully literate with the word of God, they might not know what it is, but they know it's something, their spirit knows it's something good about you. So it's like a letdown when people see you not doing your true calling. And that starts to happen even in the middle of my relationship. They would say they have a high calling, and they see how I'm acting in a relationship. They would go, oh, wow, that's what it is? Okay, all right. And then later on in the relationship, I think even the people I was with, they had a certain expectation. Even if it led to me, you know, saying, hey, I can't be with you anymore because of this, this, and that, they still would have been irritated with me, but they would have respected me more than if I didn't be just kind of carry on the same things I was doing. And therefore, it led to, okay, you really are, you know, just showing your flesh, if that makes sense. Whereas I feel like God put me in some relationship to honor him, even if it meant, you know, letting go of relationships due to him. Because it's one thing to let go of something or to lose something because of Christ. But losing something because of your own vanity, it's like it's worth nothing in the end, other than you being, again, chastised and having to be, you know, recovered by God to, you know, go back in the right direction. Then God is able to restore in a peaceful manner. But for the most part, there was a burn bridges that happened because backsliding, especially as a believer.
You said two things that that caught me for a second. The chastisement piece is great that you were even able to identify that. That lets you know that you have a heart of Christ. When someone is able to identify that, whoa, there's something wrong here, because a lot of people would blame the fact that a relationship is broken. They'll do the Adam syndrome. It's like, you know, Eve did it. You know what I'm saying? Eve brought this to me, and this is the reason why I can't live the way that you call me to live. You know, if it had not been for Eve, they blame other people for what's happening in their relationships, and they never take responsibility of what God is saying to them about their place in a relationship. Number one, their place in Him. If we're living out who God called us to be while we're in that relationship, God, we're going to be well. Who knows how the relationship will turn out, whether you end up being with that person or whether this is a stepping stone to help build each other up, meaning you and the other person or me and the other person up. God can be glorified in that. And so number one is, I love how you identified that. And I did also identify the fact that God is supposed to get the glory within our relationships. And the knowledge of that is very important. That help keeps us level head. And then the other piece was that you shared was, our relationships should honor Him. I was thinking about when you were talking, I was thinking about the children of Israel, how God continued to bless them and He gave them favor. He did so many miraculous things for them when they were enslaved and treated harshly by the Egyptians, how He, you know, parted the Red Sea for them and destroyed His enemies, that they never had to deal with that demon again. And then, you know, the things He did for them when they crossed over the Jordan and the conquering of the lands that they did, and just that He did for them and through them. You know, some of those wars He fought for them, some of them they had to work their way through with God. When they receiving those types of blessings and knowing that you are they were the people of God, I'm looking at that, right? And then I'm looking at what you were saying, the confirmations of the relation of who God says you are, that you are a child of God. When people say, oh my God, you're a son of God, you're a child of God, you belong to the Lord, you're going to be a preacher. The words that were spoken over your life that helped you have confidence, and as you said, a little arrogance in your identity of who you are in God. Do you feel as if that I'm not going to say caused, but the enemy used it as a tool to lead you to operate in pride or arrogance that led you into walking in sin or walking in vanity?
You know, I'm going to say this. As soon as you started that question, the first thing that came to my mind was the enemy used it.
The enemy what?
He definitely used that insecurity, because I feel like the arrogance comes from insecurity, really. So he definitely used that insecurity, which turned into pride, to lead me astray. Now, I'll be honest, I feel like that not just as Christians, but even just human beings. Like, we have desires in our heart, but sometimes we feel like we lack the mechanics to either fulfill that desire or at least understand ourselves more. And like, you know, like the word says, you know, we perish for a lack of knowledge. There's things that we go through that might be hard because we don't understand how to address things. Like, I know me growing up, the issue was communicating. Like, I even had issue with communicating with God, let alone with people. Instead of me just being real enough to talk to the Lord, it led me to be comfort in my arrogance, which led to me, you know, into relationships where I was prized for that. Now, there were some relationships where I know people saw me as like what they would say a good person or a kind-hearted person. But as I got, you know, the bridges would burn there and I would have to repent for that. And then I would get back on track. Here come the enemy again. I'm getting a deeper relationship with God. And my second phase, I'm sharing Christ with more clarity. And that began to be my biggest trait towards people I was having relationships with, not just dating, but even friendships. That became the biggest trait that people liked about it. And when I started to see the reward in that, it puffed me up. And it always made me feel like, oh, I compare myself to this person. I always had this advantage over them. Now I realize that we're only saved by grace. God can give that to anybody. He can take it away from anybody. So, but because I was so caught in wanting the relationship, and part of me was growing up missing, me feeling like I was missing those type of relationships outside of my family. So I tried to get it when I was, you know, in my young adult phase. So part of it was that insecurity as well. But I feel like to be having the honor and the wisdom of God at an early age, it was like a door opener for me to have things that I feel like I couldn't have without him. So basically taking advantage of God and the glory that he was willing to, him sharing his glory to us. I definitely have taken advantage of it. And in some places, I think I did it unconsciously, honestly. I did it unconsciously, and it's like, oh, I'm in a situation, how am I supposed to act, you know? But when God brought me down, and I remember having people prophesying and saying, you know, what you're doing is hypocritical, you've been a hypocrite. And I'm like, how? Being stuck in sin, I'm like, what you mean? Like when David was being checked by Nathan, because when he had slept with Bathsheba, and Nathan had to prophesy against him. And, you know, when God revealed that to me and things started to play out the way they did, I'm like, God, that's exactly what I did. And it's honestly, you know, the word of God also says, you know, where a man, name of a person is valued by what people say of them. So if people say these things about you and it's evidence that what they're saying, that means we are profaning God. And I was definitely in that place in my life before and had to repent. And it had to be broken down so I could understand what was really going on.
You know, this conversation, I believe, is so helpful and important because, again, to a person that really have given their heart, have received Jesus Christ, and they not only receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they decided they're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and they're going to build a relationship with God and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to resonate in them and lead God and direct them. It is very important to be able to measure ourselves to find out where we are with God, what is going on in our lives, not to just say we're saved and keep on with life and do what we want to do. Because we could be going in the wrong direction if we're not seeking the word of God and measuring ourselves by that word. We should be measuring ourselves by nothing else but the word of God. And in that, when we find the word of God hard to do, then we have to pray and ask God to help us to do the word. Because God has given us so many tools, Andre, to be able for us to be able to avoid what has happened in Hosea, this fourth chapter. What has happened in Hosea, the fourth chapter, in the sixth verse, his judgment that he was placing on the children of Israel because they refused to get understanding. They refused to consider what God was saying, you know, and a person like yourself and many others that are listening today, and God speaking to you, eventually you listen to God and considered what God was saying and found a place in your heart to see these things do apply to me. And then humbling yourself unto the authority of the Lord for him to do what he needed to do to help you to get where you needed to be. That is, that's the work of the Lord inside of us, because as human beings, we don't choose to be chastised. We don't choose to be corrected. We don't choose to not be prideful, you know? And so that knowledge, that type of knowledge that we gain from the book of life, which is the word of God, that type of knowledge that we gain from that is the type of knowledge that can help us be everything that God has called us to be. And we can avoid this type of judgment and live our best life. The key example, as you were talking, Dre, was to me, was in Luke, the fourth chapter, how Jesus knew who he was. He was all of God in the flesh, in the glory of God. And the Bible says he was the word, he is the word of God in the flesh when he walked this earth. So when the enemy came to tempt him with glory and fame, it did not move him because he knew it already belonged to him. And so today, I pray that this podcast is a blessing, that this episode, this pre-episode is a blessing to someone who is going through in their lives, in their relationship with the Lord, and they keep having repeat cycles of broken relationships, of chastisement, gaining, losing, consistently feeling as if they have to rededicate their lives to the Lord, or they feel a constant lack and insecurity. I pray that you consider what has happened in the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse, the judgment that was placed on the children of Israel. And I pray that your heart is softened to hear the Lord's voice that is speaking in your life. I'm sure it's through the word of God. It may be through a pastor. It may be through a close minister or a prophet that's close to you. It could be a friend. And sometimes it gets to the point God starts speaking through you through the TV and road, billboard signs, emails, and songs. But whatever way God is trying to reach you, I pray that you receive the word of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, the knowledge that he's trying to give you access to so you can live your best life. Because one thing is for sure, he's not doing it to destroy you, for he has plans for you to prosper. His plan was so direct, accurate, and the actualization of it is he gave his son. He loved us so much that he gave us his son, and that whosoever believe in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. My name is Minister. I'm actually Linnell Sparrow, Minister Linnell Sparrow. This is Real It and Real podcast. We're in life is real, but when Jesus comes back and we have to find ourselves accountable, it gets a whole lot realer. I pray that you take this word today and you have a wonderful day. And today, you are the guest speaker. You are the representation of Jesus Christ in this world. Have a wonderful day.